10 things that hinder your spiritual growth. I've had this and I've used this format before, but it's been a few years and I wanted to bring this back out as we're dealing with spiritual warfare. What are 10 things that can hinder your spiritual growth? So the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So number one is dwelling on the past. Dwelling on the past. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Number two is wasting. The forms are right back in the back. You can go grab it right back there. Yep. Number two says wasting time and energy on things over which I have no control. Good, control. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubic unto his stature? I think somebody in here would be doing that if you could grow about 4 more inches. Number three, living in the trap of trying to please everyone. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We are to only please him and him alone. Number four, feeling sorry for yourself. Scripture says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Amen. A righteous man can fall 7 times, but the Bible says he does what? He gets right back up. Number five, giving up after failure. Giving up after failure. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Number six, repeating the same mistakes. That's right. But it is happened unto me, them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Woo. Number seven, fear of change. Fear of change. Remember ye not the formal things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. And when will it spring forth? Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Number eight, expecting immediate results. Expecting immediate results. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after, the Bible says, many days. Living with the entitlement mentality. Entitlement. Let me help someone. E-N-T-I-T-L-E-M-E-N-T. Entitlement mentality. For even when we serve, we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. We are not entitled to anything. Number 10, resenting the success of others. Resenting the success of others. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Those are 10 things. If you hang on to that, keep hold of that, put that somewhere safe. Let this be a reminder to you every single day of your life, because these are things that will hinder your growth in the Lord. I want to speak today, as we're dealing with spiritual warfare, I want to deal on this subject, and that is the revelation of all. Everyone say all. Revelation of all. We're going to be challenged today in the spirit. I have a couple points that I want to bring out, and then we're going to respond in the spirit. Revelation of all. Point number one here is do not believe. Do not believe the myth that some is enough. Do not believe the myth that some is enough when Jesus is clearly asking for all. I want to leave that up there just for a moment, because that right there is a deadly myth. The deadly myth of some. Thinking that you can just do some but not give your all. I want to tell someone, Sundays and Wednesdays are not enough. This is not a 2 out of 7 relationship with God. It's not a 2 times out of the week relationship with him. This is every single day of the week. We must live for the Lord every single day. Some is a myth that you must get rid of. You can't be a sometimer with a God. That is a lukewarm mentality, and the scripture lets us know those that are lukewarm, he will spew you out of his mouth. So we must have a determination to live for the Lord. How often? Every day of the week. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, look what it says here, starting at verse number 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, notice what occupation he has. He was a lawyer, so he was used to debating, asking certain questions. He says, ask him a question, tempting him, asking, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Look what Jesus answered unto him in verse number 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Jesus is asking and calling for all out of all of us. So it's important to understand that Jesus responded to him by saying, you got to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Verse 38 says, this is the first and the what? Great commandment. Proverbs 3, verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse number 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Because Jesus is expecting all from us. It must be important that we receive this revelation here today, because if you don't receive the revelation of all, you will be left out. It's important to understand this, that you can't just be sometiming with him. At some point, no matter who you are and where you are in your life, you must come to the understanding that I'm all in with Jesus. If you don't walk out of here with that conviction, that I am all in with Jesus, the devil will find what's holding you and work on that until he pulls you away. The problem is that we have too many churches trying to put sugar on the scriptures, trying to make it as easy as possible for people to try to join the church, be a part of the church, pay tithes in the church, when it's not about that, it's about giving your all to Jesus. And if we would preach it the way the scripture says, and people would just be obedient to the scripture, you don't have to worry about filling up the church. You don't have to worry about people giving tithes and offering. You don't have to worry about people praying, because they're all in. Right? But we got too many preachers and churches trying to put sugar on everything to say, oh, you're okay. I would rather just tell me to my face. Don't lie to me. Don't be telling me I'm okay when you know I'm not okay. Just because you're trying to help me to try to keep me here at your church. No, I'm trying to make it into the kingdom of heaven. All right? I'm trying to make it to heaven and you're sugarcoating everything. When it is all, or someone say, or nothing. So let's look at the power of all. Let's examine the power of all. And we're going to examine this in the book of Mark, chapter number 1. Let's look at an example of his first 4 disciples. Look at what happens when Jesus calls his first 4 disciples. Mark chapter 1, starting at verse number 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And what did they do in verse number 18? And the Bible says, and straightway, someone say immediately. And immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. They quit their occupation and followed after Jesus. I wonder how many of us would quit our occupation because it's not jiving up with God to follow after him. It amazes me how many Christians work choose jobs that don't even allow them to come to the house of God, that would hinder them to come into the house of God. I would rather take less money and be in God's house than try to chase money and not even be in the presence of the Lord. Man, I get everybody saying amen, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it today either. All right? It's important. They forsook it all. This is our livelihood. This is what we do for a living. Can we catch a few more fish? Can we go say bye to our family? They said they dropped it all and said, we're following you. All right, let's continue to read then. Verse number 19, he says, and when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway, immediately, he called them. And what did they do? And they left who? Oh, wait a minute, preacher. The Bible don't say that. Who did they leave? They left their father. And where did they leave him at? They left him in a ship. They done hopped out the boat and said, all right, Dad, we found Jesus. Now, I love it because you don't hear anything about their father trying to pull them back. So we have to give him some credit, too. Thank the Lord for that type of father that said, no, you come on back with me. I thank the Lord for that. But it's not going to be like that for everybody here. It's not going to be like that for everyone. Some of you are going to have some combativeness in the home. You're going to have some pulling on you in the home saying, oh, come on, not today. Come on, hang out with the family today. Come do this. Isn't it amazing how the family stuff is always on Sunday and Wednesday? You know, they have high school graduation going on this Sunday. So why graduation is on a Sunday? Anyway, I'm going to keep going. It says, called them, and they left their father in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Here's my second point I want to bring out, and it's in a form of a question, and it's just simply, am I someone that is willingly made? Am I someone, you must be able to answer that question. Am I someone that is willingly made? Anyone here, you don't have to raise your hand, you ever said, you can't make me do that. Huh? You can't. Oh, you, thank you, Brother Reed. You can't. No, you can't make me. You can't make me do that. Has anyone here ever, don't raise your hand. You didn't do it just because someone told you to do it. Just to try to prove your point, I'm not doing it. It can be the right thing to do. It can help you out, benefit you, but just because someone told you to do it, I'm not doing it. But you're going to make money. I don't care. It's going to help benefit you. I don't care. If they wouldn't have told me, I would have did it. Praise God. Huh? It's amazing how we have this mentality. It's like it's a part of our stubborn human nature to do something if we feel like, or to not do something, I should say, if we feel like we're being told to do it. Look what the scripture lets us know in Acts chapter number 8. This is a very interesting story starting at verse number 29. The Bible lets us know that the Spirit, the Lord, said unto Philip, I want you to go near and join yourself to that chariot. I got somebody I need to work on. The Bible says, and Philip ran to him. He ran to him and seeing that he was reading, he heard and seeing that he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. He said, hey, do you understand what you're reading here? He says, how can I except someone gives me understanding on what I'm reading? Someone needs to guide me here. He desired Philip, hey, come on up here and sit with me. In the place where he was reading at, the Bible says that the scripture that he was reading said he was led as the sheep to the slaughter and like the lame dumb before the shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch said unto Philip, man, who's this guy talking about? Is he talking about a prophet? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and began to preach who? Jesus. The Bible says he began to preach Jesus. And as they went on their way, there came a certain water, a certain body of water that they came across. And the eunuch said, see here, there's water. Here's what he said. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now that I've learned about Jesus, what hinders me to be baptized? But here's the key. Remember, are you someone that is willingly made? What hinders you to be baptized? Look what Philip said, though. If you believe with what? All. You have to believe with all of your heart. And you may. I can't make you go down there. I can't make you believe. The only thing that hinders you is you have to believe with all of your heart. If you're willing to believe with all your heart, then we can go down to this water and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And see, then when Philip seen that he had a willing heart, he said, stop. Stop the chariot. I got somebody that's given their all to the Lord. Now we can go down in water. Can I give you a little, just a little, I don't know, I don't want to call this an Eddieism, but it's just something that I really believe in, okay? That is, we don't need to rush people to the waters of baptism. We need to rush people to repentance. If we rush people to an altar of repentance, they'll walk themselves to the baptismal tank. Am I making sense in here? We too often push people to baptism. They haven't even fully given their all. They haven't even given their all. So they're going down, coming up, and going right back to the same ways. Why? Because they haven't given their all. Isn't that what Philip was challenging him with? He said, what hinders me to be baptized? Give them all your heart. You give him all. If you're ready to give all, we can stop everything right now and go ahead and proceed with this baptism. Am I helping somebody here right now? Because we have to have a revelation of all. We got to give it all. And once he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of the Lord, Son of God. I believe this. I'm going to give him my all. He said, stop everything. And they both went down and was baptized. It's important to see because Jesus was always challenging people to give their all. Let's go to the book of John, chapter number 6. This is when Jesus is speaking very heavily and very strong. You know, oftentimes we depict Jesus as this soft, little, almost effeminate type person, if you will. That bothers me when I see different pictures and different things that show Jesus as if he's this soft little guy and he never ruffled any feathers. But remember, as Jesus, he's the one that was very plain when he said, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. You have no part of me. And people say, man, that's a hard thing. How can we say this? Even his disciples were concerned about this. Say, man, you're saying something hard here. All these people are walking away from me. Look what the scripture says in John chapter 6, verse number 61. The Bible says, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Drop down to verse number 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, nobody can come unto Jesus, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples, they went back and walked, the Bible says, no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you go away also? But Simon Peter said, no, Lord, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go, Lord? Because you have the words of eternal life. In other words, Peter was saying, I'm all in. I've gave up everything. From the moment you called me, I dropped my net and I was all in. I wonder if there's anyone here today, from the moment Jesus has called you, you've made your mind, I'm all in. I'm not saying everything's been perfect in your life. I'm not saying everything's been going smooth, but you have made a decision, I'm all in. I'm not turning back. I'm not going anywhere. This is where I'm staying, in the house of the Lord. I'm all in. Hallelujah. I'm all in. He said, is this offending you? Are you going to leave me too? Peter said, hey, where are we going to go? We don't have anywhere else to go. We've given up everything for you. This is it. I'm all in. Remember, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter number 19, starting at verse number 16, and behold, one came unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I might have eternal life? The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from the youth. In verses 17, 18, and 19, Jesus is mentioning many of the commandments. So when he asks him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus begins to name off all of the commandments. He names off 6 of the 10 commandments. And then in verse number 20, the young man responds to Jesus now. He says, the young man said unto him, all these 6 commandments I have kept from my youth. So what do I lack now? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, I want you to go and sell everything you have, and I want you to give it to the poor, and you're going to have treasure in heaven, and I want you to come and follow me. But see, the young man wasn't all in. He didn't have a desire to give up everything just to follow Jesus. Because the Bible says in verse 22, but the young man heard that saying, and he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had a lot of stuff. And he didn't want to get rid of his stuff in order to follow after Jesus. I believe tonight God's going to work on some people's hearts to where there's something that may be hid in the stuff. There's something that may be hid in the stuff saying, Lord, I got to get rid of that. I got to stop hanging on to that because I have to be all in with you. The scripture begins to say in that same chapter, in chapter number 19, stay with me there in Matthew, drop down to verse number 25. The Bible says, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them, said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, this is great news here. You ought to read this with me. That you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But the Bible doesn't stop there. He rewards them, but he also rewards us. In verse 29, it says, and everyone say and. And everyone, that includes you and I, my friend, and everyone that hath forsaken, what? Houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mothers, or wife, children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Hallelujah. Church, you got to be all in. You see that? We must be all in. But are you willing to forsake what you need to forsake in order to be all in? I say it all the time. There's not one person worth going to hell over. There's no one. And if you've got to forsake family members, they got to be left behind. Because I have to follow after Jesus. If you have to forsake loved ones that's telling you, oh, you don't have to do that. You don't need to go there. It doesn't take all that. I've got to follow after Jesus. The revelation, someone say, of all. I looked at that word forsaken. There's a definition here that I want to show you what forsaken means. Look at this. The definition of forsaken, to bid a going away, to depart, to disregard, to leave. This is one of my favorite ones right here. Not to discuss not to discuss a certain topic. I'm not talking about it anymore. There's certain things that you have to be settled with in your heart and in your spirit. I'm not talking about it anymore. Stop bringing it up because I'm staying with Jesus. To forsake it means I'm not even going to bring the topic up anymore, and I'm tired of you talking about it because I'm sticking with my convictions. Stop talking about the way I live, I talk, I dress, I walk, how often I go to church, because it's not up for discussion. This is who I am. This is who I choose to be. Why? Because I'm all in. Hallelujah. To go away, leaving something behind. It has been forsaken. See, the problem is that we preach repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost very well. I'll take it a step further. We preach separation, modesty, and holiness. But sometimes we leave out a word that is just as important as all those, and that is submission. That is submission. Because in order to be all in, you must be submitted. You must be submitted. Point number three. If submission is the goal, then who are we submitted to? If we agree in here that submission is important, then who are we submitted to? The Bible says, follow me in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 5. It says, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of a time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Listen to what he says in verse number 7. If thou therefore will worship me, all, there's that word, all of this will be yours. I just need you to worship me. I need you to submit to me, and all of this will be yours. But Jesus responded, hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I'm all in with Jesus and Jesus alone. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not giving up nothing. I'm not submitting to you because I'm all in with Jesus. That's why today we must leave here with a revelation of all. We can't leave out of here with a sometime attitude or spirit. I'm either all in or you're all out. Because if you think you got one foot in, one foot out, I'm sorry, you're out. You have to be all in with Jesus. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes, forsake whatever I need to, because I must have Jesus at all times. The Bible says, trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. I feel the Spirit of God in here. Let's lift our hands right now. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. In the name of Jesus, I feel a great revelation of all. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel revelation hitting this place. I feel conviction hitting this place. I feel the power of God moving upon hearts. I feel the power of God moving upon minds in here. If you have a desire to give the Lord your all, and if you want to submit to him, I challenge you to stand to your feet, to come down to this front and say, Lord, I'm going to give you my all. Lord, I'm here to submit to you my all. In the name of Jesus Christ, come on, lift your hands and lift your voice. There needs to be a great revelation of all in here. Through the good times, through the bad times, through the high times, through the low times, I'm going to give you my all. In the name of Jesus Christ, come on, come on. Let there be a moment of recommitment. Let there be a moment of rededication. Let there be a moment right now. I'm willing to forsake. I'm willing to leave behind. I'm willing to give up. There's nothing more important than serving the Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.